It's awesome to be here at Calvary Cathedral International, and especially, man, this is a great time. 2016 is, I've just got so much in my heart. 2016 is just going to be an awesome year, and it's like all the challenges, all the struggles that you've gone through, God's going to turn it around. And what the enemy meant for evil, he's going to turn around for good. For your good, amen. Good. There's not any boogeyman following you around. Surely goodness and mercy are following you all the days of your life. Praise God. So I'm really pumped about 2016 for you and for this church. So I want you to turn to Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and then we're also going to look at Luke chapter 17. I've got a real strong word in my heart tonight. I want to share with you, and I believe it is the means and it is the way to the victory and the thing. You know what the enemy has meant for evil, God's turning around for good. And some of you've been in a place a long time. And you haven't seen the breakthrough, and we just sang it. We sang it tonight, and in our worship, and we sang it. Breakthrough, and Bible, you're going to break through, and you're going to break out, and you're going to break the power of the enemy off of your life. Yes, praise God. All right. Well, I want to tell you funny first. Is that okay? Praise the Lord. Well, this man called the police because he couldn't find his wife. She was gone for over a day, and he calls the police officer, police station, and he said, "Well, my wife is missing. She went shopping yesterday and has not come home." The sergeant said, "Well, what is her height?" The husband said, "Well, I'm not really sure. A little bit over 5 feet tall." The sergeant said, "What was her weight?" He said, "Well, I don't know. Not slim, not really fat." The sergeant, color of her eyes. "Well, sort of brown, I think. No, I never really noticed." "Houston, we have a problem." The sergeant said, "Well, the color of her hair, well, it changes a couple times a year. Maybe dark brown now, I can't remember." "Well, what was she wearing?" "Well, it could have been pants or maybe a skirt or shorts. I don't really know." And a sergeant said, "Well, what kind of car did she go in?" Husband said, "She went in my truck." "What kind of truck was it?" Husband, "A 2015 Ford F-150 King Ranch 4x4 with EcoBoost 5-liter V8 engine, special ordered with manual transmission and climate control air conditioning. It has a custom matching white cover for the bed, which has a matching aftermarket bed liner, custom leather six-way seats, and Bubba floor mats," and on and on. At this point, the husband started choking up at the loss of his truck. The sergeant said, don't worry, buddy, we'll find your truck." Well, it's important what you pay attention to, amen? Thank you, Jesus. Man, that is a there's more truth of that than poetry, isn't there? All right, Hebrews 11, we're going to read a few verses. Verse 30, Hebrews 11, verse 30. "By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith," everybody say through faith, "subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence, and escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Now look down at verse 39. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Therefore, right into chapter 12, therefore, we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which easily besets or ensnares us, and let us run with endurance or patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author of our faith. Now, I'm convinced that God has great faith exploits for you and me in 2016. And here, these are great faith champions, but when it says that in verse 40, that they should not be made perfect apart from us, it's communicating to us by God's word that great faith champions that have gone before us are depending on you and I to finish our faith race. Their faith, what God assigned to them, is not complete or accomplished or finished apart from us, because our faith is generational. If what you're believing God for can be fulfilled in your generation, it's not enough. And we need to be thinking generationally, and we need to understand that there are those in faith that have gone before us, and they're this great cloud of witnesses. What part of our race that they get a clue about or are watching us run, I don't know, but it says there are a great cloud of witnesses and that have gone before us, that we're standing on their shoulders, and they've given us the baton to run our race. They've run their leg, and it's time for us to run our leg. And okay, maybe sometimes we've dropped it. Sometimes we've, looked at the crowd that's yelling at us. But the bottom line is, each of us has a race to run, and I'm running my race of faith to win and to finish. I'm not going to disappoint those that have gone before. Somebody prayed me into the kingdom. My great grandmother was born in Germany, and I got a Bible from her when I was, six or seven years old. It's got her signature in there. And I mean, she was believing God for her grandchildren and great grandchildren. I mean, she was a believer. And I'm telling you guys, there are those in your family and in your faith family who have gone before you that are depending on you to finish your race. And it's going to be accomplished by faith. And so, you know, look, I'm part of Charis Bible College, which simply means grace. But how many of you know that we need, it's grace and faith. It's not just grace alone. And so we need faith as well as grace. And that's what 2 Timothy 2, verse 2, and Matthew 28 is all about. It's disciples making other disciples who can carry on the work of God that has begun. Yes? And God has called each one of us here to do great faith exploits in 2016. No matter what disappointments, no matter, you know, what roadblocks, no matter what detours that you've gone through in 2015, I'm telling you, God's got open doors and great exploits and miracles and signs and wonders and things that all heaven is waiting for you to pick the baton of faith back up and run your race with patience and finish your race. Are you hearing me? See, what you do does matter. Your obedience matters. And more importantly, it's your faith. It's your faith in the Lord, but it's also you hearing what God has spoken to you and you running with that and not letting yourself get sidetracked and moved out of position. Luke 17:5, and then we're going to look at Mark 9. Luke 17:5. After Jesus talked about you unconditionally forgiving 70 times 7 in a day, the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. Well, and then verse 6, let me get there and read that. And Luke, verse 6 of Luke 17. And so the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be pulled up by the roots and be planted into the sea, and it would obey you. Now, there's a lot of lessons we can learn from that, but they asked the Lord to increase their faith, and basically he was just saying, look, if you've got a small amount of faith, you can, if you'll use that faith and focus that faith, then you can move the mountain that's standing in your life. It's not praying for more faith. It's using what faith you have. And the race we run is a race of faith. And you and I, you know, a lot of times we're praying for more faith, but really what we need to do is use what we've got. Yeah? I mean, a little faith can accomplish a lot. You can move mountains. It'll move things. It'll change people's hearts. It'll change the hearts of kings. And if the church will use its faith, we'll have the right president in 2016. Amen. Amen. We'll use our faith. And the right people in office, if we'll use our faith. And stop complaining and griping about, look, instead of cursing the darkness, turn on the light. Turn on the light with what you're declaring. We need to declare and call those things to be not as though they are, instead of agreeing with what is. Yes? I mean, if faith, a little bit of faith, if that's focused, that you're using, it'll produce miracles, it'll raise the dead, it'll open blind eyes, it'll drive out demonic powers, it'll turn impossible situations around. Wow. Amen? Just faith. And with some people, it is true that their problems are a faith problem or a lack of knowledge of the will of God problem. Does that make sense, or did I just jumble that up? I understand with some people, the problem is they don't know the will of God. Okay, so it is a faith problem. But with more people in the church, what I've observed with more the problem is not a lack of understanding of the will of God. The greater problem is a mixture problem. Mixing two or more belief systems together, hoping to get a faith result. The Bible calls that unbelief. And that's what I see more often than not. They believe, but then they're sowing other things that they believe because of what they see, and then it just jumbles all together and it dilutes their faith. When the little faith they had, if it was focused and it wasn't diluted with a lot of mixture, then they could move mountains with that faith. And we're trying to get more faith. And what we need to do is believe God only with what He's put in our hearts. And instead of getting focused on and locked in on everything we see, it's just like, you know, we see the political, and listen, we've got to pray and we've got to vote. And I'm not telling you who to vote for, but, you know, I'd like to. But anyway, we need a change. Let's put it that way. And it does matter who we vote for, and it does matter who gets in office. Okay? And so, look, the other side of the coin is, no matter what's going on in the world, that we don't need to agree that that our nation or our lives, or we're going down the tank. Amen? Now, I want to show you something about unbelief out of Mark chapter 9 that I think it's the bigger problem that hinders our faith is when we have, like this man in Mark chapter 9 said, I believe, and help my unbelief. So is it possible to believe and have unbelief too? It is. And I want to show you what that is from these verses here, and then I'll tell you what I want to... I'm giving you a long introduction, but I'm going to tell you what my message is after we get to the end of this passage here. But the bottom line is, guys, your faith works fine unless you mix it with the wrong thing. Your faith will move mountains. Your faith will change circumstances. Your faith will overcome darkness. Your faith, it's not a problem with your faith. The problem is when we start diluting it. The problem is we start mixing it with some other belief system or something else that we see, and that becomes greater than what we believed initially. So here in Mark chapter 9, this is a story of the boy that had the mute spirit and epileptic seizures. In verse 14 of Mark 9, and when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. Immediately, verse 15, when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him and greeted him. And he asked the scribes, what are you discussing with them? Then one of the crowd answered and said, Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. They could not. And he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. And they brought him to him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So the demon in the boy started demonstrating, manifesting, and for the purpose of convincing Jesus that whatever word he spoke wasn't going to work. The same way that he had done the disciples before. And so there was a manifestation of the opposite of what Jesus and the disciples were believing. And so he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? He said, from childhood. And he often has thrown himself, verse 22, into the fire, into the water, to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. The issue is not if Jesus can do anything. Jesus cleared it up. He said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. I mean, we sing that. All things are possible. You know, if you just believe, all things are possible. But see, he said, look, the problem isn't on my end. The problem is if you'll believe, all things are possible. If you'll just believe me. And then immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Here's the problem. That we believe, but then we mix our believing with unbelief. That's what he said. And he identified it. Lord, help me. I believe, but I've got some unbelief mixed in. And when Jesus saw the people come running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit and said, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly and came out of him, and he, the boy, became as one dead. So here, you know, not only did the demon now manifest and convulse him twice, now the boy looks like he's dead. So you got, I mean, you're believing, right? The disciples are believing. They believed because this is Matthew, this is a in Mark, but in Matthew 17, it's a parallel to this, and so of this story. So in Matthew 17, this is when that chronologically is when this event happened. Matthew 10, which is prior to Matthew 17, is when Jesus sent the disciples out to cast out devils, heal the sick. Remember? Okay, so seven chapters later, which is a period of months or whatever, that this event happened. So the disciples were believing. They already had word from Jesus to go out and cast out devils, right? So they believed. It wasn't that they didn't believe. They believed, but then now we got an incredible Hulk demon that's convulsing this boy twice. And then he looks like he's dead. I mean, the boy's dead. I guess it didn't work, Jesus. I don't know. I mean, Jesus didn't get frazzled by it, did he? He didn't get frazzled by two convulsions, epileptic fits. He didn't get stressed or bent out of shape when the boy looked like he was dead. Did you see that? He just kept believing. What did he believe? The word that he spoke. That demon's got to come out. He didn't mix belief with unbelief. The disciples were believing until the incredible Hulk demon convulsed the boy twice. Are you hearing me? I mean, you know the same thing happened with them as happened with Jesus. And he probably looked dead then too. The disciples, I guess it didn't work. I mean, they were believing. And then they let unbelief in. Are you hearing me? They, because of what they saw. And then what verse am I in? Yeah, verse 27. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he rose. What a novel thought. That's what's going to happen to you in your situation in 2016. If you'll believe. I said, if you'll just believe. And when he'd come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we cast it out? Now, in Matthew 17:20, we're not going to turn over there. You can just look it up yourself. In Matthew 17, verse 20, Jesus answered him, because of your unbelief. Why couldn't we cast it out? Because of your unbelief. Well, wait a minute, Jesus. We believed. I mean, we went, remember in Matthew chapter 10 and in Luke records, they went out and were casting out devils, remember? They came back and were rejoicing over it. But what we believed, and he said, why couldn't we cast it out? Because you started out believing and then you let what happened in the natural cause you to believe something more than what Jesus said. And you diluted your faith because of what you saw in the sense realm. Are you hearing me? This is powerful. This is awesome, man. You get a hold of this, and I'm telling you, you're going to see some faith exploits happen, miracles happen like never before. Why? Because of your unbelief. Why didn't it happen? Because of your unbelief. And so he said to him, this kind does not come out but by prayer and fasting. Now, certainly you can apply that to a demon, but I don't have to pray and fast to cast a demon out. What I've got to pray and fast to do is to cast unbelief out. It's the unbelief that kept the demon from getting cast out. And what he said, look, what the cure to unbelief is, and it's not you're trying to convince God in anything, but prayer and fasting sensitizes you to the spirit realm and faith more than the flesh. And the flesh is what causes you to get an unbelief. And he's saying, look, you want to cast this demon out, start with casting unbelief out. That's your problem. It's not a lack of faith. You had the faith to cast him out, but you diluted your faith because of what you saw. You saw two convulsions, and one child looked like he's dead. And so then you believed not because of what you saw along with what you believed, and you wonder why you couldn't cast it out. He said, look, you need to spend some time praying and fasting and get that unbelief out of you. Let God show you where you're believing and in believing not. Are you hearing me? This is powerful. Look, guys, the disciples had, this wasn't their first rodeo. They'd already been trained. And look, I'm not going to take a long time tonight unless you just don't listen real good. But they'd already been trained and sent out by Jesus to cast out devils and heal the sick and raise the dead. And they came back rejoicing, remember? This wasn't new to them. They'd been trained in this. And so why now didn't it work? Jesus has given us a lesson. Guys, sometimes we start out in faith, and then because of something happens in the natural that we see with our eyes, our sense realm, and what happens, we get in agreement with it, and we start off in faith, and then we mix unbelief with it and wonder why it doesn't work. And why am I sharing this? Because there are, as I stated at the beginning, there are great faith exploits that God has called you to fulfill in 2016. And in order for you to do that, you're going to have to do some prayer and some fasting to get the unbelief out. Now, if it's not there, fine. But I'm telling you, you need to be more sensitized to the spirit realm than faith, I mean, than the flesh. And I'm not telling you what to fast or anything. I'm just telling you, seek God in 2016. I mean, there's some people get legalistic about fasting. And it wouldn't hurt any of us in the natural. but I'm not talking about you're doing something to get God to do something. Okay? That would be legalistic. That's not what we're not talking about that. But we're saying, look, if you go back, we need to go back to our beginnings. We need to go back to the basics of faith, because a little bit of faith of what God has spoken to you about will move mountains in your life. But if the mountains aren't moving, you need to be seeking God and sensitize your spirit to see, have I let some unbelief in because of what's going on with my senses? Are you hearing me? The enemy used two seizures and the appearance of this boy being dead to try to sow unbelief in the disciples' hearts. And they became moved to believe what they saw, what their senses dictated to them, more than Jesus and His Word. Now I'm stopping here. I'm pausing for a moment, because I'm speaking to someone here tonight that God has got great vision for and great hope for. And it doesn't matter how old or young you are, God has got great vision and great hope for you, for you to have a turnaround and a breakthrough that we sang about tonight, and the freedom that He has for you. But you cannot hold on to valuing what you see with your eyes and think that you're going to accomplish it. And what happened to the disciples, the reason they couldn't cast this demon out was because they became overwhelmed by what their senses dictated to them. And there's some of you today that have given up. You've let go of the baton. You've let go of your faith because of what somebody did, somebody said, what circumstances that happened, delays or disappointments or I don't know, something that you became overwhelmed by what your senses dictated to you, and you let that dilute into your heart, and it's keeping your simple faith from working. Are you hearing me? The difference between Jesus and his disciples is when the devil manifested himself through this boy, he didn't allow himself to believe what he saw more than the command of his word he had spoken. Compared to modern day disciples, you and me, we're tempted to be moved off of God's word because of a doctor's report or lying symptoms or chronic pain or some family member's judgments of us or their opinions of us or their accusations of us that we're religious nuts or the length of time it's taken since we believe the promise or some delay or some detour or whatever. What is it that God put in your heart if we allow ourselves to become overwhelmed with what we see and how it's detouring us from what God said? Guys, it's just clear and simple unbelief. And it's going to get us, it's going to keep us, unfulfilled and not finishing our race. But it's simple faith. Are you hearing me? And this is true. It's true in the area of healing, in the area of finances, or relationships, or a dream, or vision from God. And Jesus gave us the antidote to that. You seek me, fast some in the natural realm, and seek me and pray, and you'll be sensitized back to what I've spoken to you. And you're going to see that more than you see with the natural eye. And that's going to move the mountain. It's going to, the thing, look, we talk about the new thing, but how do we get into the new thing that God has for us? It's faith. And it's faith alone. Now, look at Mark chapter 5. Look at Mark chapter 5. Verse 36. This is a story of Jairus and his daughter. Remember, his daughter was sick at home, and he came, and Jairus had to, he took a big risk coming to Jesus as a ruler of a synagogue, and he came to Jesus, and then when he came to Jesus, he came to Jesus. He fell at his feet in verse 22, verse 23, and he begged him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live." Now, what was the simple faith that will move the mountain of death out of his daughter's life? What God revealed to her: if you'll come and lay your hands on my daughter, she will be healed and she will live. Did you hear that? That was his faith. Simple faith, okay? That faith will get his daughter healed. Whatever it is that God has revealed to you about your situation, when you get the word on it and you speak the word, that's enough, guys. You don't need to try to go over the nation and have everybody lay hands on you till your hair falls off of your head. It's all right if God leads you to go, but it's the thing that's going to move the mountain of sickness or cancer or the problem is you get before God and he downloads a word to you and you speak it out and agree with simple faith. It'll move the mountain. The problem is the temptations that come in after that to try to get us to embrace something else in addition to that. And it's exactly what happened. Remember, Jesus followed. Look at it. In verse 24, so Jesus went with him. Jesus went with him. What do you think is going to happen when Jesus shows up? We're going to have a resurrection, man. Isn't that right? But now watch. But then verse 25, we have an interruption. A woman with the issue of blood. How many of you are glad Jesus is willing to be interrupted? But how many of you know Jairus wasn't real thrilled about it? Right? So he's tempted. Jesus stops. His daughter's dying or maybe dead by now. And Jesus stops to minister to somebody else. So there's a delay. There's an interruption. There's a detour. Are you hearing me? Now, Jairus didn't say a word. How many of you know he could have pulled rank or tried to? He could have blew the whistle on the woman with the issue of blood, right? There's a lot of things he could have done because things were going his way, but he didn't do that. And then you know the rest of the story. She was healed. Now look at verse 35. After the interruption that he kept quiet about, while he was still speaking, verse 35. Some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" How many of you know your daughter is dead? That's the same kind of thing that happened with that boy. He looked like he was dead, right? So the unbelief came that kept the disciples from casting the demon out, because they were overwhelmed. What they saw with their senses, or heard with their senses, was greater than what they believed. And so unbelief entered in. It kept the demon in the little boy. Well, here, how many of you know Jairus is tempted to do the same thing? Are you hearing me? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." Now, this is my message tonight, and it's very simple. It's just very simple. Believe only. Believe only. It's my message. Just believe only. Believe only what? Well, whatever it is that God has given to, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So whatever your situation is, whether it's about your child or grandchild, or about your health, or about your marriage, or about some other relationship, or about finances, I mean any number of things about your business or your ministry vision or your whatever it is, okay, you prayed and you sought the Lord and you got a word on it. But Jesus is going with you to make the change. But on the way, you have interruptions, you have problems, you have things that loom so large that what happens is it overwhelms us, and we come into agreement with what we see more than what he said. And I know how that goes. I understand when the doctors come and tell you that you have cancer. Or your child is not going to live past 10 years old, or that it's over in this area or that area. I mean, I've had all kinds of disappointments and failures, and things looked like in the natural that it was going to fail. But you know, like when we went through our involuntary church plant in Decatur, Texas, otherwise known as a church split. You know, I prayed is, "God, get me out of Dodge. I'm leaving this little podunk city." Okay, I'm from Houston, Texas. You know, I mean, get me out of this little podunk, you know, church boss city. And I mean, you know, God, help me, because we were God told us, he sent us there, and then we had a major train wreck. Okay. And then people attacking us and all kinds of things and writing letters, and pastor came in the middle of all that and helped get us through it. But I was praying after that. I was praying, "God, you know, once the dust settled, you know, I am getting out of Dodge. You understand? This is not for me." I'm not talking about leaving the Lord. I'm just talking about, you know, this little, I mean, but God's, the problem was God sent me there. I thought he was sentencing me to anonymity when he sent me to Decatur, Texas. And now we have this church split and a $9 million lawsuit over a frivolous counseling, frivolous lawsuit over a counseling issue where we're trying to help somebody, and we get sued over it. Anyway, and they dropped it, but I'm telling you, we went through some stuff, and so we were tempted to be overwhelmed by all these things and what people say and everything else. But then Pastor, he helped us, but then he didn't just help us. He really helped us. He said, "Now, Greg, I want you here at 5:42 in the morning for prayer in Fort Worth." And I'm in Decatur, a 45-minute drive. So I have to leave at 4:50 in the morning to get here at 5:42. I have to get up at 4. You understand? That's ungodly. That is not. I'm a night person. I'm not a morning person. This is, you know, God, this can't work, you know. He came and helped us, but then he really helped us. What he was doing for us at that time to come into prayer and to seek the Lord was the same thing Jesus was doing with the disciples. Don't get into unbelief because of the attacks of the enemy. Amen. Because you're overwhelmed about, God, you started out right. And then the attacks of the enemy come, and then you let unbelief in because you get overwhelmed with what you see. Well, what happened was I got in the presence of Jesus, and, you know, Tom was leading worship many times, Johnny, you know, others. And it was like, man, we got in the presence of Jesus, and we started being sensitized again to what Jesus was saying rather than what the devil was doing.
There you go. There you go. Right.
And I got back to a point where I was like Jairus, all right, Lord, my only responsibility, I'm going to believe only.
Believe only, yes.
And that word only just means alone.
Yeah.
It means alone.
Yes.
That means you can't believe and bring unbelief in with it.
No.
Are you hearing me? And I was tempted to bring unbelief in with my belief. And that was going to take me out of the will of God more than all the stuff that came against me. And so we got in the presence of God. I just followed my pastor. And I got in the presence of God, and I heard Dale Gentry was here one of those mornings, lots of those mornings. And I heard a word, and the Lord said, "Listen to this word. This word's for you." And he said, because I've been praying to leave, remember, God? But, you know, God sent me, so I can't wait. I've got to be sent again. And so I'm praying, and then here's the word. The word was, God's called some to go here. And I think it was about the time that Gary Everett was leaving, and, you know, God's called some here to go. I'm thinking, man, I'm signing up for that one. That sounds like a good word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, forevermore. I can get out of that podunk city and, you know, wipe the dust off of my feet. And then, but he didn't finish. And then the Lord said, "Here's your word." And he said, "But I called some others to stay." But then now I'm really in trouble. And he said, "All of my shepherds in that area, except for a few, have left. In fact, one of them, Pastor knows, one of them left by suicide." And he said, "But I've called you to stay." And here's what it, I'm in the presence of God. I can't hear anything more Dale or anybody else is saying. Remember, I'm not sensitized now to the flesh. I'm sensitized to the Spirit. And I hear him say, "Ask me this, will you stay? Will you stay?" What are you going to say? No. "Will you stay?" He said, "If you'll stay," he said, "I'll bless you. I'll bless your family. I'll fulfill the vision." all these things that he said, I'll protect you. I'll give you greater anointing. I'll bring you into relationship with good friends like, you know, and good spiritual fathers like Pastor Bob Nichols. And it was like, you know, all that hell that came, you know, God didn't send all that hell, but all that hell that came because I believed only. I am where I am today. Are you hearing me? And he just believed, guys. Only. He didn't say another word. Jairus, I'm talking about. He didn't say another word. He didn't get upset at the woman with the issue of blood. He didn't pull rank. He just believed. He believed only. That's what Janice and I did. That was now, I don't know, how many years ago was that now? Let's see, 1994. So that we're going into, you know, 22 years ago. But where God has brought us, I can't even begin to describe, to tell you the kind of influence that he's given us and the favor that he's given us and the sons and daughters that he gave us there at that church and the relationships that we have. I'm such a wealthy man because I just believed. I just simply believed. Are you hearing me? And that's my message to us in 2016. And you know, I'm not talking about being so overly introspective and trying to dig up old bones, but just seek God and pray, because he's going to take you back to your beginnings of the faith that he put in your heart. And it's, to some of you, he's going to give you new things to do, new exploits that he's called you to. Are you hearing me? And I just want to encourage you today. Well, you know the results. Jairus' daughter was raised up. What would have happened if he would have got all bent out of shape at the woman with the issue of blood, or if he would have just said, you know, don't worry. He said, don't say anything, just believe. And what if he said, no, you know, it's okay, Jesus, don't come, she's dead. What would have happened? She would have died. She would have stayed dead. Are you hearing me? Unbelief is another belief system that's mixed into the heart in addition to faith in God's word, and it causes you, Romans 4:20, it causes you to waver at the promises of God. Abraham did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. Right. Unbelief is a mixture. And there's a lot. I'll finish some of this Sunday morning, some more of this. Is this helpful to you? It is to me. I just know this, that, I mean, in fact, if you look at the parable of the sower and all the different kinds of ground, all that is just different mixture. Cares of the world, offenses, all kinds of other things, and we mix things into our heart. Yes. But yet the good ground holds on to the Word of God, and it says it brings forth fruit with patience. What does that mean? You get your eyes off the calendar and off of the clock. Amen. You cannot finish your race with your eyes on the calendar or the clock. You finish your race with just simply believing what God said. Now this is what I'm calling us to do. Is to get locked back in on our faith. It's what Pastor called me to do 22 years ago. That brought us out of despair and hopelessness and the end of the line. Look, I never could have imagined being where we are today. But I'm telling you, just as sure as God did that for Janice and I, he's going to do that for you. And it's going to happen through your faith. Only believe. Believe alone. Believe only. Amen? Can I pray for you? Why don't you stand up on your feet? Let me just pray for you real quickly. Father, we want to thank you for your love for us. We want to thank you for the things that you put in our hearts. And Lord, if there's any mixture in our hearts, show us. But Father, we're getting back on our faith. And we're declaring, we believe only. Just say, I believe only. What you've said, more than anything I see. You are greater, Lord, than what I've allowed to overwhelm me. Your word is greater. You are greater. And I'm going to accomplish great faith feats, great faith exploits in 2016. In Jesus' name.